Okay, good morning.
Good morning.
Sorry, not trying to put you in the corner.
That's fine. So, 2 weeks ago, Matthew had 45 verses to cover. I have 9, so life isn't fair. So we should be done in, 5 minutes? Or? Although Matthew didn't take 45 minutes, so I guess I should be done in 2 minutes, two and a half minutes. So we're moving along in the Gospel of John, and Jesus has been moving from one place to the other, and we're going to look at that on a map here in a little bit. But today we read the story of when Jesus heals the son of a nobleman, or in some versions of the Bible, a royal official. So let's read this passage. So John 4, verses 46 through 54. Then he came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a royal official whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and was asking him to come down and heal his son, for he was about to die. So Jesus said to him, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will never believe." The royal official said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "Go, your son lives." The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and started on his way. And while he was still going down, his slaves met him, saying that his son was alive. So he inquired of them the hour when he began to get better. Then they said to him, "Yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him." So the father knew that it was at that hour in which Jesus said to him, "Your son lives." And he himself believed in his whole household. This is again a second sign that Jesus did when he had come out of Judea into Galilee. Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we open your word, we just pray that you would have a message for each of us, and that regardless of the words that come out of my mouth, I just pray that your spirit may be working in the hearts of individuals to meet whatever need that they have, whether it be for encouragement, for rebuke, or for salvation, that your spirit would work. We just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we have a story in which he has an interaction with another individual. And you may notice that many of the interactions that Jesus has are not just with the Jewish people, the Jewish officials, but with people that you might consider to be outcast among the Jews. And so 2 weeks ago, when Matthew spoke, he talked about the Samaritan woman, the woman at the well, and who then broadened to the whole village there in that area. And the Samaritans were looked down upon by the Jews. So this man here is called a nobleman or a royal official. Some people feel that he might perhaps even be a Gentile. Regardless, he probably was not well liked among the Jews, because it's believed that he was a royal official in Herod's court. And if you recall, Herod was put into place by the Romans, and so he was basically a Roman figurehead. And so we don't know for sure if this man was Jewish or Roman or some other nationality, but he probably was not well accepted among the Jews. But before we get into this story, I wanted to back up a little bit. The last time I spoke, we went over this. John tells us why he wrote his gospel. And so in John 20:31, we see this: "But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. And so John's trying to get across in his gospel, you know, three things: that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, that is the Messiah, the one that has come to save the Jews. Number two, to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And number three, to understand that belief in Jesus as the Christ, as the Son of God, results in eternal life. And basically, the life's most important issue to resolve. So throughout John, the book of John, he shows many evidences that Jesus is God. So there are witnesses. And so far, we've looked at John the Baptist in chapters 1 and 3. Also through Jesus' miracles, demonstrating that only God can perform the miracles that Jesus performed. And again, there are many miracles throughout John. So far, we've looked at these two, you know, the turning the water into wine. And then in John chapter 2 also, it's stated that he performed many miracles while he was in Jerusalem. It doesn't state specifically which ones. And then there's also Jesus' testimony about himself, which we see throughout John. The most recent one was to Nicodemus. When Nicodemus came to see him at night, you know, Jesus clearly stated that he was sent by God and the Son of God to Nicodemus. Since John wants us to believe, he also shows us examples of belief. What does belief look like? You know, what kind of belief does God want us to have? And so again, 2 weeks ago, looking at the Samaritans, let's just read that short section. From that city, many of the Samaritans believed in him because of the word of the woman who bore witness. He told me all the things that I have done. So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they were asking him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. And I've highlighted that, because of his word. And they were saying to the women, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves and know that this one is truly the Savior of the world. And the reason I highlighted this one is because of the focus there, because of his word. So we see throughout John that many people believed in the name of Jesus, believed in Jesus because of his miracles. But it also states that Jesus knew their hearts. And they believed that Jesus was a miracle worker, but they did not necessarily believe that he was God or the Son of God. And there's a difference between those two. And so Jesus desires that we believe on him because of his word. And so we're going to see that today, another example that's similar from the nobleman. So to just sort of quickly set the stage, so Jesus's recent journey over the last couple of chapters, we see him in Jerusalem. He goes to Jerusalem for the Passover, and starting in John chapter 1, verse 13. And then it's also recorded that he goes other places within Judea. And then from the region of Judea, he goes to Samaria. So put the arrow up there. And so you can see Judea on the map at the bottom, and then that middle area, Samaria. And so we show the city there of Samaria. And that's where he meets the woman at the well that we just talked about and that Matthew covered 2 weeks ago. And then in verse 43 of John chapter 4, he moves then into the region of Galilee, just Galilee generally. But then he's recorded starting in verse 46, being specifically in Cana of Galilee, where this healing of the nobleman's son, or at least the interaction, takes place. And Cana was where Jesus turned water into wine, which is the first recorded miracle in Scripture. Now, interestingly, the boy was not in Cana, but he was in Capernaum. If you look on the map a little bit above,
point it out there, right there,
was where the boy was located. And so the man, you know, seeking Jesus, had to travel, they say, roughly 20 miles or so to get to Cana to find Jesus. And so what we see in these first few verses is a desperate need. So repeating it again, then he came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a royal official whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and was asking him to come down and heal his son, for he was about to die. And so our first lesson for today, I guess, is that faith begins by seeking. You might say it begins with a need and then seeking for a solution to that need. And so here we have the nobleman whose son was sick unto death, and he began by looking for Jesus. And so the first question that we might ask ourselves, you know, what am I willing to do to bring my needs to Jesus? You know, are we willing to be inconvenienced? Are we willing to walk 20 miles like this nobleman did? Perhaps he had a horse or a pack animal since he was of higher status. But regardless, he had to go a certain distance and humble himself before the Lord Jesus. And then Jesus' reaction is kind of interesting here. He challenges his belief. And so our second lesson to learn here is Jesus is never in a rush. Your emergency is Jesus's opportunity to build your faith. And so what Jesus says to this man is sounds harsh, actually. In verse 48, it says, "So Jesus said to him, 'Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will never believe.'" Now, why would Jesus say that? Well, for one thing, he was surrounded by people. And so oftentimes in Scripture, when Jesus speaks to a person, he's not only speaking to that person, but he is speaking to the broader group of people around him. We see that often in Scripture that when Jesus is speaking to the crowd, for example, that the lesson that he has is actually for his disciples. You know, we will see that Jesus will say something to the crowd, and later on his disciples will ask him about it, because that was what was his target. And so some commentators say that you people here is kind of, you know, like we say, you all. It could be singular, but it's generally plural. And so Jesus is not talking only to the nobleman, but to the crowd in Galilee. And, you know, Jesus himself says that a prophet is not without honor in his, or with honor in his own town. You know, people that know you don't respect you. And he's from the region of Galilee. And so he is concerned about people that are excited about him being a miracle worker, but have no interest in putting their faith in him. And in a similar manner, he's challenging this man that came to him asking for, you know, undoubtedly a miracle, he's challenging his faith as to whether or not he really believes. So Jesus' goal is to strengthen his faith. Now, if we want to get stronger muscles, what do?
Exercise.
We exercise. And so how do we get stronger faith?
Exercise,
okay? And so Jesus is asking this man to exercise his faith. So the way to strengthen faith is to exercise faith. In other words, he is asking this man, who is your faith in? Is your faith in the signs that I can perform, in my power, or is it in me as a person? And the royal official applied by pleading again. He said, "Sir, come down before my child dies." And so listening to one sermon on this passage, he made kind of a good point that the nobleman or royal official made two errors in his thinking. So he said, "Sir, come down before my child dies." And so his first error was underestimating the range of Jesus' power. So he felt that Jesus had to be there. He had to be where his son was in order to save him from death. And the second error was believing that death ended Jesus' ability to perform healing. And we know that both of those is not true. And so so Jesus was challenging his faith. So he apparently this repeating of the urgency, satisfied Jesus's desire. The fact that the man did not give up. Jesus challenged him, and in the face of authority, it would be easy to turn and to walk away and say, okay, he implied that he didn't want to do it, so I'm giving up. And so I think it's important to us is to not give up on our faith. We come to Jesus asking for certain things, and after a while, when we don't see the results in the time that we want, we give up, and we move away. And some people turn away from Jesus when they do not see the results. And so faith, the example that we're looking here is believing and acting on the word of Jesus. So Jesus said to him in verse 50, "Go, your son lives." And the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and started on his way. And so again, I've highlighted, this is not highlighted in scripture, but he believed the word that Jesus spoke to him. And this is the type of belief that Jesus desires in his disciples. And we see this several times within John. A little bit later, we're going to look at the raising of Lazarus from the dead. And if you recall in that story, Jesus actually delayed for a period of time to go to Mary and Martha to allow Lazarus to pass away. And when he gets there, he's met first by Martha, and he leads Martha through a set of steps in building her faith, asking her questions, and it ends in Martha declaring that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that is the type of faith that Jesus desires in his followers. Notice that the nobleman said, "Come," but Jesus said, "Go." So the nobleman had expectations in the way that Jesus would work. But Jesus responded in a manner that was different, which raises kind of our next point. Do we have preconceived ideas of how Jesus will work when we are making requests of him? God desires a faith that surrenders to him. and to his ways and to his will. You know, in Hebrews 12:2, we read that Jesus is not only the author of our faith, but he is the perfecter of our faith. And it is through trials that we face that our faith is perfected. Next, we see that faith can have immediate results, but delayed rewards. And continuing on in the scripture, and while he was still going down, his slaves met him, saying that his son was alive. So he inquired of them the hour when he began to get better. And they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at that hour in which Jesus said to him, your son lives. And he himself believed in his whole household. And so first of all, we see that the nobleman, once he believed and began on his way, apparently he had a peace about him. We kind of need to infer this, because it talks about he didn't meet his servants until the next day. And so it was about 20 miles. It certainly could be doable. You know, you would think that he would have been, you know, out of there like a rocket heading home. But the evidence seems to suggest that he delayed. Now, the seventh hour, there seems to be some disagreement on when that was. It depends on whether it was Jewish time or Roman time. So it could be. So I read noon, I read 1 p.m., and I read 7 p.m. So somewhere in there when this occurred. But, you know, regardless, the nobleman, it said that, you know, he believed and went his way. But apparently it was a casual move and not galloping back at full speed or running a marathon. He took his time. And so, you know, the result of faith in this case was immediate peace. He believed the Jesus at his word. But there was a delayed response, and that was confirmation. The reward came the next day when he met his servants, and he knew for sure that his son lived. So getting back to John's gospel purpose, that we believe that Jesus is the Christ, he's the Son of God, and that these result in eternal life. And we see the example here of belief in his name, not just belief in that he's a miracle worker, but he is the Son of God. So how about us? Do we seek Jesus for our most desperate needs? Do we take Jesus at his word? Do we have preconceived ideas of how Jesus must respond? Are we willing to rest like the nobleman on Jesus' words? And are we willing to wait for the reward of faith? You know, many of us have been praying for things for some time, maybe years, and the reward may come way in the future. We may die before our prayers are answered. But Jesus wants us to have this faith in his word. You know, I think two of the most important things in life are to have salvation. And Jesus says that, you know, whoever comes unto me will not be cast out. You know, he said that, you know, he came to seek and to save the lost. He said that whoever believes on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. If you need salvation today, you can take Jesus at his word. The results can be immediate. Now, the reward might take some time as Jesus builds your faith, as you learn to rest on him, as you learn to accept that forgiveness of your sins. You know, perhaps you are a Christian and you need forgiveness of your sins. We know in 1 John that if you confess your sins, that he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That can be immediate. You can have immediate forgiveness. Yet it can take time to overcome the consequences of your sins, but the reward is there. So wherever you are today, learn to lean on Jesus, to take Jesus at his word, and to rest on him and to wait on the rewards of faith. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for this example of faith from a nobleman. I pray that if anyone here today does not know you, that they might desire to know you and to follow you and to take you at your word, your offer of salvation. And if we need forgiveness of sin, that we would know that that is readily available. We can confess it. You are faithful and just to forgive our sins. We thank you for this time together. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.